would, turn with me now to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 1, let us hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but in the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. See that you do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the 1/4 part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day, that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout all your generations. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. In it It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. And whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim to be an holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and a burnt offering, and a meat offering, and a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Besides the Sabbath of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Also in the fifth day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of fig trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. So in Leviticus 23, the Lord reminds the people of God that he is Lord even over that most precious commodity, the most precious commodity that human beings have, our time. The New Testament saints, while we are no longer to continue the practice of the feast mentioned here, as we read about in Colossians 2:16, save the moral commandment we have for a weekly Sabbath keeping, Hebrews 4:9. Yet, these feasts stand for us with a certain moral relevance, though they are in themselves ceremonial in the letter of them. There is something to be learned here, and we must take them for those moral aspects. These feasts mentioned here are called Sabbath days by Paul in Colossians. And we'll notice that there is a division in the chapter right there at the beginning when he will say, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Then he's going to speak about the Sabbath, verse 3, and then he's going to go on in verse 4 to say these are the feasts that come after. And so what is he doing then? What is the context around which the fourth commandment is presented unto us? It's that all these other feasts are based upon the moral principles of the fourth commandment. And so we draw from that an inference that if there are going to be holy days, the Lord sets those holy days. If we are going to call a time holy, it must be from the Lord. There are times of worship that we are given to in Scripture that the Lord commands. We ought not to be making any up of our own, nor should we be diminishing aught from anything that the Lord has commanded us. And this really does, in our age, put to shame those extra curricular, extra biblical holy days that we have made up. We, as fallen humanity, are really good at coming up with reasons to celebrate things. And oftentimes when we make up these times, these holy days, they push out the things of God. I'm thinking, you know, most recently of Mother's Day and Father's Day coming up. Right? Why do they always end up on Sunday? Right? Not that mothers and fathers, you know, I'm certainly fine to appreciate the mother and father that the Lord give you. I hope that you do that every day. Right? But why on the Lord's Day? Because they push out the things of God. And they ought not to be so. So anyways, coming into the text, we see that in 1 through 3, the Sabbath day is presented to us on the seventh day of the week in the Old Testament. Now on the first day of the week, we celebrate the Lord's Day, our Sabbath keeping. It is an ever-repeating and perpetual cadence by which the people of God are to order their lives. And so why is it put at the beginning here? Because all of the other feasts are based on what? What did you hear throughout the whole thing? How many Sabbaths? How many Sabbaths in between? What Sabbath does this appear on? Right? Over and over again we hear about the Sabbath. And so that's the cadence. Everything else is, as it were, a superstructure built on top of that. When the Lord removes the superstructure, what's left? The Sabbath. That's what continues for us today. Unlike these other feasts that Moses institutes here, the Sabbath day was instituted at creation. It's not something that Moses added. It is not a Mosaic institution. It is a creation institution. And as such, it continues on. Okay, so for the Sabbath, and I really want to draw attention here because this is what really pertains to us. The first thing we note is that there must be a holy convocation every seventh day. What does this mean? We come together to worship. That's what it means. We come together as a people. And so we will hear over and over again that it is not enough to sign in through WebEx or some other software and chime in to some remote location and quote unquote worship with them. We gather together. We break bread together. We sit around a table together. That is what's required. And it's really a sad state of affairs over and over again that we hear about people who, even though all the restrictions are lifted, yet they have taken and continued and perpetuated that practice of going to church, so to speak, through a video camera. Shall we let this civil magistrate who comes up and supports all manner of debauchery to tell us how we come before the holy God? Let it never be so. Notice that it's also in all your dwellings. Now, this is not speaking of house worship. This is speaking of, hear me, you should be doing family worship. Not right now. Right? But this is speaking in your cities, in your towns, in your districts, in those places where you live. This, you know, everybody in Israel wasn't to gather together at Jerusalem every week. Instead, in their places where the Levites were, they would go and hear the preaching of the word and so forth. So synagogal worship was established when? Moses. Okay, so moving on then. Basically, you can divide this chapter into really three sections. The first thing is that we have the holy days that are given on the first month of the Jewish ceremonial calendar. First month. Then we have Pentecost, right? Then we have the seventh month. And so what we ought to be seeing here is a cycle of every 6 months, there are feasts, with the exception of Pentecost. And we'll talk about that more particularly. But in the first month of the ceremonial calendar, and why do I say the ceremonial calendar? Because in Israel, there was a civil calendar and a ceremonial calendar. And you can get confused if you're not aware of, you know, what the reference point is. Right? The Jewish civil calendar started on the seventh month of the ceremonial calendar with the Day of Atonement. Okay, so oftentimes when you read in Kings and things like that, sometimes it'll say the first month, and then it'll talk about celebrating the Day of Atonement. That's talking about the civil calendar. Okay, anyways. So the first thing that we have on the first month of the ceremonial calendar, we have the Lord's Passover. The Passover was celebrated on the 14th day of the first month, and it was to witness to the people that they were redeemed people out of Egypt, that the Lord redeemed them. They are His people. And it is by this redemption that the people of God escaped the judgment of the Lord that He brought upon Egypt and will bring upon all of the wicked in the final assize. Then after the Passover, so you have the 14th day, which is the Passover, immediately upon the conclusion of the Passover, you had a 7-day feast of unleavened bread. And why unleavened bread? Well, sometimes leaven speaks of a good thing, and sometimes it speaks of a bad thing. Here, leaven speaks of a bad thing. Why? Because the people of Israel were to leave Egypt as a redeemed people and not take with them the leaven of unrighteousness. They were not to fill their loaves with Egypt's wicked practices. Instead, leave all that. Go with haste out, is what's being talked about there. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Finally, we have the sheaf of first fruits. And the sheaf of first fruits was offered at the beginning of that Feast of Unleavened Bread after the Passover. Right? So Passover happened, 7 days of unleavened bread, but right on that Sunday was the sheaf of the wave offering. The sheaf of the wave offering, the people of God brought a handful of the first fruits of their increase on that first day of the month to the priest, and the priest would wave it before the Lord, saying that, yes, though this increase came from the ground, we know where it really came from. It came from heaven. And as it is the first fruits, it is given to the Lord. It is yours. And I want you all to think about this really, really carefully, because this gives us an important lesson about Christian economics. They were neither to eat bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you brought an offering, the sheaf offering unto the Lord, is what it says. Don't eat any of it until you have done your duty in giving the Lord the portion that He requires. It's not yours. None of it's yours. So let me ask you a question. We get paychecks. What's the first envelope you open to put money in? What's the first thing to come out of your account afterwards? Now, I get some people put checks, and that's okay. But are you diligent in saying, you know, before house, food, money, anything, I am going to give the Lord His portion? Because I recognize that by giving that portion, all of it belongs to Him. And after you give the Lord His portion, are you making a good and sanctified use of the rest? If you haven't read Principles of Christian Economy by R.L. Dabney, I highly recommend it to everyone, including up-and-coming young adults. It was formative in my thinking about how we use money. as Christians. The second thing is that, okay, so in the next section, 15 through 22, I got to move along. 15 through 22, we have the Feast of Weeks, also known as Shavuot or the Pentecost. And so what do we have here? 50 days. Okay, so let's count it. If Passover happens on a Saturday, and we count 50 days from that, so seven Sabbaths plus one. What day are we on? Sunday. Right? Which day of the week? First day of the week. And what's to happen here? The first day of the week is this feast here is meant to be a type of that New Testament blessing. Why was it that the Holy Spirit was poured forth on Pentecost? It is to be a type of the full blessing and benefits bestowed upon the people of God in the pouring out of the Spirit of God, which testifies to us that it was on this, it's testified into us on this day, the Spirit came upon the apostles. Notice what we have here. In the Old Testament, we had a sheaf. A handful. It was something. Wasn't everything. But it seems like once you get to Pentecost, it's as if an explosion happens. Now we're bringing two loaves per house. Now we're bringing seven lambs. Now we're bringing two rams, a bullock. And it's as if an explosion of blessing is happening, right? In Old Testament types. And that's what we're supposed to see here. So yes, you were a redeemed people, but now the blessing has come to its fullness. So anyway, something to meditate upon. We also note that seven Sabbaths, the number seven, often signifies fullness and perfection. Right? So why seven Sabbaths after the Passover? Because at the fullness of time, Christ came. All right, so then we go into a kind of sabbatical month. In the seventh month, we begin the month with the Feast of Trumpets, in which the Lord had ordained that two trumpets should sound, and that all the people were called together in the solemn assembly. We note that this is in a preparatory convocation for the Day of Atonement. And so what we would remember by this is oftentimes we're confronted with great duties or great tasks or moments of weight in which we must plead for the Lord and His mercy and grace. And in these moments, should we not give adequate time to prepare ourselves for them? The Day of Atonement was a big deal. And so, how many days did they have to prepare for? Nine full days. Then you had the Day of Atonement, which we discussed from Leviticus 16. I won't reiterate that here. Finally, on the 15th day of the seventh month, there was a Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And this was when the people of God would celebrate for 7 days in tents or booths made out of various palm trees and so forth, various branches. And yet it was a time of rejoicing. You know, sometimes when we go camping, you know, you start complaining a little bit. Not as comfy as what it is. And it's meant to be so. Because we're not of this world. We are pilgrims in this world. And so what are they testifying? Our houses are not these. Our houses are what's to come. It's a comparison between the wilderness wandering and the promised land, or our earthly temples and those heavenly temples which we shall have. And so I'll leave you with that. Thus ends the reading of Leviticus 23.